Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. As always, we're going to have fun, we're going to learn, we're going to be educated. So I invite you to go grab your pen, go grab your recorder, whatever you need to do to take notes, because I'm pretty sure we're going to learn something today. But I don't want you to be the only one who learns something. So I invite you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone to invite to watch the show with you, whether you invite them through inbox, text, tweet, post it on your social media, whatever you want to do. There's someone who needs to learn what we're sharing here today. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to introduce our first guest, because remember, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So our first guest that we have the opportunity to speak to is Ms. Michelle Fannis. Michelle is the founder of the Conference Director and has 19 years of event design and project delivery experience. She started her career with UBM and Informa with clients such as The Economist, Nursing Times, and African Farming Magazines, plus more. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fabulous. Good morning. Good afternoon from London.
Thank
I
you for joining us
feel
again.
like a broadcaster.
I think that's the whole New Year's Eve vibe. They're always like, Happy New Year from London. Happy New Year from New York. You know what I mean? So, welcome from Long
Thank
Beach,
you.
California.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show a few months ago.
Oh, I had so much fun. I booked it straight away. I had to come back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What brings you back? What are you passionate about?
Oh, I've slightly changed direction since the last call, and I was working on a project I couldn't really speak about back then because I just started. So I'm here to talk about my current project, which is a project with the Economist Group and the Dubai Chamber of Commerce. It's an African Economic Development Conference, a bilateral trade conference between United Arab Emirates and the African continent, helping the African continent to develop economically and thrive and job creation and women empowerment and youth engagement, all of that stuff. And that's what I'm passionate about. So it's an amazing, amazing project, and I want to do more projects like that.
Is it being held in Dubai?
It is. Yeah, it's in Dubai next year. So we're hoping that we can have an in-person element to that. We're planning it or designing it as a hybrid event. So we have a lot of people online as well, but the majority of people we're hoping will be in person. And it's a high-level conference where they have quite a number of heads of state as well as ministers and huge delegations from each of the countries. So it's a
No,
big
that's
one.
wonderful. The reason I asked is I always dreamed of going to Dubai. Dubai is that bucket list. I have to go. So somehow, some way, I'm trying to finagle an invitation. But then you have to watch me, Michelle. I'm telling you have to watch me. Keep your eyes on me, because while y'all trying to talk about women's empowerment, I would be over here
You're
trying to
shopping.
I'm not shopping. I'm trying to find me a royal king. Like, I'm trying to marry the king while y'all over here like women's empowerment. I'm like, I want to be like wife number 29. Like, wife
Don't
number
care.
one does too much work. I'm sorry, let me focus.
Amazing place, has so many credentials. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. So many good examples come out of Dubai. It's a fantastic place. I've never been myself, so it will be my first trip. But yeah, so far so good. It's a great project to be working on.
We're going to hear more about it, but make sure you let them know when you go, Sharifa goes. That's all
I
I have
will.
to say, because I'm
I
going to help
will.
you with women's
I will.
empowerment.
I
Right?
will.
I'm going to come back to you, Michelle. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Tanya T. Morris. Tanya founded Simply HR Inc. with a vision to be the number one resource for connecting generations in the workplace. As both an accomplished generational connector, speaker, and a culture disruptor with 25 years of combined experience in government, information technology, retail, financial services, manufacturing, and the education sector. Please welcome Tanya. Good morning. How are
Oh,
you?
good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad to be here. I really am.
Tanya, you want to go to Dubai with me and cause trouble?
I absolutely do. My sons, both of my boys have been there and they said, Mom, you need to go. I said, okay, I'll go.
Yes, yes. We got to go over there. What brings you to the Roundtable Talk Show this morning, Tanya?
You know, I want to talk about something that I'm very passionate about. We all have heard and seen the horrific crime that played out in the United States with this unjust. And so my goal is to really educate business owners and leaders about this racial divide that we have and we are experiencing. So I do a lot around diversity, inclusion, and equity. And I really believe that this is not a moment, it's a movement. For the first time in history, you know, we are able to talk about race. We're talk about equity, gender, and all. And so diversity has been there for a while, but now we are able to really talk about it. So I want to talk to leaders and owners to talk about the importance of understanding what it is and what it's not. And there's a lot of misconception about what it is. And so I'm here to disrupt the mindset. It's not just black and white. It's a little bit more deeper than that. And so, you know, I am a generational connector. I love working with organizations to connect the multi-generations in the workplace, because at the end of the day, we all must get along to belong. And that's what I'm here to do today.
We all must get along to belong.
Yes, ma'am, we have to do that. And so I'm here to be that disruptor, if you disrupt the pattern.
It looks like you're having so much fun disrupting it, though. There's a certain element of you're like, I'm here, I'm changing everything.
Well, you know what? I get high about organization. I speak a lot about what it is. And I believe at the end of the day, if we have a change of heart, we can disrupt a lot of things. And that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we have to see people for who they are. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in our history, we're five generations in the workplace, and now we are unapologetic talking about the gender equity, you know, the racism in the workplace. And so organizations are troubled. They don't know what to do. And so guess what? They call the generational connector, and I tell them what to do. So that's why I'm here to show you that, or talk to organizations and individuals that your employees are the soul of your organization. But I believe if we search our heart, we can get past some of this stuff. And that's what I'm here to do.
Do you have a military background?
No, ma'am. But I feel like I need one.
No, but it seems like somewhere there's like some military experience, because like you have this smile, but there's something behind it. Like, okay, don't play with her though.
Well, I think playtime is over. And I do believe when we witness George Floyd, I have two black boys. And when I witnessed that, I was angry. Mm-hmm. But then I turned that anger into passion, because sometimes people just don't know what they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to disrupt, because for the first time, like I said, we got five generations in the workplace, and in a lot of workplaces, it's chaotic. So how do we get to the place where we can all belong? This thing here is personal.
I can tell. Really, but let me just ask you this, Tanya. Let me just ask you this, because you made the statement quite a couple of times about not knowing. And one of the things that's happened to me personally since the whole tragedy of George Floyd happened, since basically that day, I've been asked to speak on panels for months after that. And one of the things that stood out to me on multiple panels, different people not even having the same conversation, is people would say, especially white people, since we're having that discussion, they would go, Sharifa, I didn't know. One lady asked me, she's like, I didn't know, like, what, I don't know. And I asked her, I said, but this is my question, you know, you're asking me since you didn't know, but I want to know, what didn't you know? Like, which part of this whole situation, did you miss slavery? Did you miss the civil rights? Which part of systematic racism did you not know? So you keep mentioning not knowing is what you don't know. And so I'm asking you, a black woman, the same question. What have you found is the aspect that people don't know?
I think they don't realize, let me just say this first before I answer that question. A lot of them are in their own bubble. That's what they've told me. I'm in my bubble, and I hang with the same people, whatever. And I just never thought it was that bad. Right. Mm-hmm. But then when we start peeling back, You know, the George Floyd thing is a that was in the community, but let's go into your organizations and see how this racism is playing out every single day. And so that's why we do unconscious bias. We're seeing gender inequity. We're seeing the all of it. And so you have to just peel back. They only peel back so much, but we already know that it exists. So now we have an opportunity to write a new story. The history, we got an opportunity. I told you I'm very
It's not like a movie. Like, you're like, we're going to write a new story. Then the movie plays.
It's a movement because we knew it, but now it's all about how we articulate it.
Yes, and
You've already seen the show, but let me put some verbiage to it.
Right. Right, because we can articulate it more now than we've ever been able in history.
And we are allowed to, and people are embracing it now. So we have an opportunity. Like I said, it's not a moment. It is a movement, and it's very personal for me. And so that is the work that I am doing and will continue to do.
I think it's powerful. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Tiffany C. Wright. Tiffany helps small to medium B2B companies restructure their operations and finances to generate stronger cash flow, higher profits, and greater revenue. Her clients have experienced revenue increases of 10 to 40%, profitability increases of 20% to 250%, and doubling to quadrupling of cash flow in under 1 year. Good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
I am great. Good morning, Sharifa. How are you?
I'm excited to meet you, excited to have you here, excited to have one of my favorite conversations. How are we going to get this money?
Well, I think there's been a lot of talk about the more recently about what is going on in terms of the options that are available for people of African-American descent. And I noticed that issue, almost 17 or 18 years ago. But I also think it has to do with the approach and just not knowing where to go and how to access the money. So I spent a lot of time talking to business owners and helping them get the money. And you know, most people would think about, they would think about banks, you know, the Bank of America's of the world. And Bank of America usually works with companies that are at least 10 million and larger. They tend to ignore the smaller companies. So when they're turned down for a loan, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. It's the community banks, the smaller banks that focus on helping business owners. They have business owners and other entrepreneurs that sit on their boards. The larger companies do not. And they want to, you know, their charter is to help the community and make money doing so. So yeah, community banks, but then there's all kinds of other entities, accounts receivable financing, inventory financing. I mean, there's this whole plethora of funding. And then on the equity side, there's a whole range, not just, you know, angel funds or venture capital funds. There's private equity, there's mezzanine, which is kind of a hybrid. Anyways, depending on the stage of your business, the industry, the amount of assets you have, and all of that, you put all that together, and there's a number of different options. And sometimes you have to combine options to get all the money that you need. So I would just, my main thing was I would focus on getting people to think creatively and quit saying can't. I can't find the money. When you say can't, you cut it off. There's no creativity. You shut it down. There's no solution to your problem. But if you say I'm having difficulty, that's different. There may be people who will be there to help you. So yeah, so I've written a couple of books. The first one, Solving the Capital Equation, which people still contact me about. Solving the Capital Equation, Financing Solutions for Small Businesses. I'm an engineer, undergrad. So I thought that was a cool name, but then... But then I later wrote another book, and it's called, can you see that?
Yes, it's funding out there.
Yeah, the funding is out there. Access the cash you need to impact your business. So that's more, but yeah, so that's what I focus on. And I also found in helping people get money that a lot of times it was less about the money and more about the jacked up operations that they had that were contributing to very poor cash flow. So it was the way the overall operations or the or even the financial operations were structured. And so if we could get the operations underway to drive more, get the operations, take care of the operations to drive more operational cash flow, then we could, then they would actually need less financing. So anyway, so that's, so now that's what I've been focusing on the last few years, is helping companies restructure their operations and their finances in order to drive the achievement of their goals.
Wow, interesting. I love when shows come together and I find a common theme. So I have plenty of questions for you, for Tanya, and we're going to figure out how to get more of this money. I'm going to come back to you, but I just want to make the statement and a comment. One of the things that, that guests have expressed to me during this global pandemic, when everybody was talking about PPP and the PPE rather, and getting the loans and getting the money, that there was basically between 1-3% of all of the money that the United States government put out during the stimulus for businesses that went to minority owned businesses. So again, it's two markets that I see coming together, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Marcy Rendon. She's a citizen of the White Earth Nation, 2020 McKnight Distinguished Artist Award, 50 over 50 MNAARP and Pollen Award. Rendon's novel, Girl Gone Missing, Cinco Puntos Press, is the second cash Black Bear novel and was nominated for the Putnam Sun Sue Grafton Memorial Award at the Eggers. Good morning, Marcy. How are you?
Yeah, I will show the book right at the beginning here. Girl Gone Missing is the second in the series. You can see all the notes where I, the pages that I've marked to read. And then Murder on the Red River was the first in the series that won two awards. So yeah, I'm an author. And one of the things that I've worked hard to do is, I was told early on by a mentor that if I wanted to be a writer and make money, I actually had to learn how to talk to people, because way back then, I would just like talk like this. Mm-hmm. And if somebody said hi to me, I would burst into tears. So doing a lot of speech, a lot of performance work to actually be able to show up at something like this.
Well, I applaud you. Congratulations to you, because I've had so many guests who come on the show and they're like, Sharifa, this is my first appearance. I've never done this before. I'm shy. And this took a lot for me to actually do. So the fact that you're doing it and you're standing in your power, I applaud you. I think that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I live in Minneapolis, so we are still feeling the aftershocks of George Floyd. And my family is a family of activists. I started to get teared up when I heard you talking, Tanya, because things, you know, like the city that I raised my children in is gone. You know, where George was shot is the place where we would go get our phones, go get those that smoked, would go get their cigarettes. You know, on any day, it could have been one of my kids or grandkids there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say that. The other thing is about, you know, the invisibility of Native people, which is probably why I write. We are so invisible that nobody even, like most people don't even know we exist. I wrote a story about the 5,000 to 7,000 missing and murdered Native women that was published in a book out of New York. And the editor says, what do you mean missing and murdered women? And I said, well, it's a fact. And he said, well, show me. And so like I had to show him evidence that this is a real thing that's occurring in Indian country. When CNN did the, you know, the breakdown of who voted for who, and Native people got stuck in that category of something else. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the state of Nevada, it was the Native vote that turned that state, mm-hmm. you know? And so like the power that Native people, one, that we exist, and two, that we actually have a powerful say on this entire continent. So doing the writing, doing the public speaking, being an advocate for other artists. I've got a daughter and a granddaughter who are entrepreneurs, and I keep thinking, I'm going to get them on this show.
Well, thank you. Get them on here. I like to talk to everyone.
My 18-year-old granddaughter, she decided she went to college. She wanted to go to college. She got a partial scholarship. She needed X amount of money. And she asked me for the money. I said, I don't have that kind of money. I said, but, you know, start a business. And so she did. She started raising bees, sold honey, and sold sweetgrass braids, and made enough to match what she needed for her first year's college tuition.
Impressive. And bees. I don't think I've had a guest on the show who has raised bees or had anything to do with bees. The only ones that come closer are Beyonce's beehive. Like, that's the only ones that want to come and talk on the show. But I love bees. Marcy, I want to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Mark Hirschberg. Mark was on the show previously a couple of months ago, had a really great interview. And now we're going to learn about from tracking criminals and terrorists on the dark web to creating marketplaces and new authentication systems. Mark has spent his career launching and developing new ventures at startups and Fortune 500s and in academia. He helped to start the undergraduate practice opportunities program dubbed MIT's Career Success Accelerator, where he teaches annually. At MIT, he received a BS in physics, a BS in electrical engineering and computer science, and an M engineering in electrical engineering and computer science. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited to be here on Entrepreneurs Day. It's a great day for the audience of your show. And yes, as we look forward into 2021, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to see vaccines that are showing promise and that we're going to get out of this COVID funk that we've been in. And also there's indications now with the president-elect that's likely going to stimulate the economy. So 2021 is going to be a big year for business and for entrepreneurs especially. So we have to make the most of that. The work I've been doing at MIT and elsewhere, I put into a book. And now last time I was here, the book hadn't been printed yet, but just came out hot off the press. So the Career Toolkit, it's available for pre-sale. available for pre-sale on Amazon now. And what I do in the book, I take a lot of what I've taught at MIT and elsewhere. And these are skills, leadership, negotiation, networking, communication, skills we've all been told is important, but we've never actually been taught, right? Everyone's told, okay, you need to network, but no one ever sat us down when we were in school or even early in our careers and said, this is what to do. And so this book goes through each of these skills. I give actionable advice, how you need to think about what you need to concretely do. This is applicable not just for the business owners, because if you're the only person networking in your company, all the work's on you. And so these skills can be taught to everyone throughout your organization. So everyone can be a more effective communicator, can help extend your business, and can capitalize on this opportunity in 2021.
I like when you hear Mark, you always have that infomercial kind of vibe. And I like it. It's like, here's the information, get the book at the low, low price of $49.99. I just want to click and order it because I love learning.
That is a huge compliment because I relate to Marcy. When I was younger, I was terrible at public speaking. I would just look down and kind of shake. And I was never a great marketer. That's one of the skills. In the first chapter, I talk about developing your career skills and creating a plan. I knew my marketing was weak. And so I figured out ways I could improve that. And selling is never natural for me. And as an author, as Marcy knows, and as others here know, you have to go out and promote your book. So I've been working on developing that skill in myself. I eat my own dog food.
I like that. that. So how did you, and I'm going to ask Marcy the same question. So be ready, Marcy. But Mark, how did you get from, you know, your head's down, I'm too afraid to look at anybody, to this great, you know, speaker?
Like all skills, these are things that take a little insight from others and practice. So I recognized my public speaking wasn't great. And I first began by joining back in high school, the debate club. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna force myself to do it. I also looked at other speakers and said, what is this person doing well? What can I take from this person? Reflected on myself, what were some of my bad habits and how do I work those out? Probably though, the best thing to help me, I was a competitive ballroom dancer for 8 years. I went to a national championship 7 years in a row. And while ballroom dancing obviously doesn't have speaking, the fact that I was up on stage and performing and literally having people judge me gave me the confidence that, yes, I screwed up plenty of times, but I got through it. And public speaking in particular, a lot of it's confidence. So for those struggling with public speaking, even dancing, acting, sports, you can use that to build your confidence to become a better public speaker.
Yes, I love it. One of the things that I learned, I was never particularly shy, but I didn't want to speak in front of people per se. And one of the things that I read was that no matter how successful public speakers are, there's still some aspect of nervousness, because that nervous energy is what makes them feel like I still care about that. And so I was always so nervous. I'm like, I don't know if how I could do this. And then when I kind of stepped into that nervousness and I was like, okay, it means I care. So it went, I was told that when the nervousness goes away and you don't feel nervous at all, that means you should be concerned, because that means you're operating out of ego. And you're like, I got this. It doesn't matter. I could just go out there and it'll be wonderful. So I like to have that nervousness. I get nervous before every show, and I've done almost 150 of the roundtable talk show, and I'm still like, okay, I hope these guests walk away with a wonderful experience. Marcy.
I took acting classes. I do spoken word performance. One of the things my mentor told me, not just that I would have to learn to talk, but that I am the product. Mm-hmm. That as an author, I represent all of these books over here. And so things like learning how to put on lipstick. I have a whole wardrobe hanging up over here that's my author wardrobe. You know, yes. It's like I take on this whole other persona. Mm-hmm. The other thing that helps is that he told me that as Native people, we belong everywhere. Mm. And that if I can walk into a room knowing that I stand on the ground of my ancestors, and that they're through me, it gives me a strength that, you know, pushes beyond that, like, personal shyness, I think.
Yeah, a cause greater than yourself is how I would kind of interpret it. And so I like the whole idea of the author clothing. For me, I don't look at it as, you know, I published 2 books, but it's not my author clothing. I have it's like my professional clothes. You know, you have your, you can just throw these on. And then I'm like, I can't throw that on because I got to do a talk show. So I'm like, I got to get a little bit more professional. So they've got the professional clothes here, got the any day clothes here. I want to go back to Tanya real quick. I don't know how, somehow, some way, there's always some theme, some commonalities. And we just started talking about race today. I kind of feel like that was like an important theme. We had Marcy who shared her personal struggle, her hurt, and just being there in the city. Michelle was focusing on bringing together these people in Dubai, Africa, so we can make the world a better place. Tiffany, even in her bio, she was talking about finances and helping, but she started out by saying, talking and focusing on the minorities, you know. And then we have Mark, who's coming out just talking about entrepreneurs, stepping out, you know, and so that's his story. What have been your thoughts so far, Tanya?
You know, I think I've resonated with everyone, and especially Mark and Marcy, because I'm a keynote speaker as well. And I can remember, I always didn't tell myself I was a keynote speaker, but I knew I had a message. And so that persona, you do have to bring that persona with you and get on the stage. And I'm always nervous. So I definitely applaud you two for, you know, studying the craft of speaking, because that's how I grew my business, speaking. Speaking grew my business. If you're in business, you need to be speaking. Mm-hmm. And so that was my marketing tool, how I grew my business. But then I also took it a step further and said, you know, I'm going to use this right here to be the catalyst for, you know, culture transformation. And then George hit. And, you know, we all knew that diversity and inclusion was something that was out there. But this thing here is front and center. And, you know, I said I want to be the number one catalyst for culture transformation. Why not use this here, use my voice? And so I've been doing a lot of, you know, facilitated dialogues around this here. And I forgot to add about my little book. I do have something called Compassion in the at Work. And it talks about having compassion in one generation at a time, since we have five generations. So I just kind of want to put that plug in. But I do think that we all need to look at how race plays out in the financial industry and, you know, in the natives, marketing, all of it really impacts. So I think that's why I said this is not a moment. It is a movement on every level, because what goes on in the community comes into the workplace. And here I am, I'm here to, you know, bridge that. So I think it all relates.
Absolutely. One of the things that you said is you need to be speaking. And so I always try to speak for what I believe the viewers want to hear and the questions they may be asking. So if I'm listening and I'm watching the show and I hear you say, you need to be speaking, my first response is going to be, how? Where, you know, because we all want to go and speak, but it's like we don't necessarily know where to start.
Okay, so, you know, for example, when I transitioned out of the workplace, I figured, I said, how I couldn't do the digital platform simply because I was still working. Mm-hmm. So, but it couldn't stop me from speaking, right? So I would go to the Rotary clubs, I would go to the churches and speak. And I mean, I would even speak at work to be practiced on people because they didn't know I had a bigger, you know, deal here going on. But then you can join Toastmasters. You can do that. I joined the National Speakers Association. I was on the board. So I knew that I didn't have the resources to market my business, but my mouth could do that. And so let's figure out how we can do that very well. And so as I started speaking, I started liking it and honing my craft. So you can go to Rotary clubs. Like I said, my first, I got booked, my husband and I was going to the farmer's market. And you always need to be prepared because you never know who's ready to book you. And I overheard some women, I was getting some okra. And they said, God, we're looking for another speaker for our next event. I'm like, well, you know, I talk about generation inclusion. I did my whole little thing, right? And they booked me right there with my okra, right? I did, and it was free. It was free. But you know what? I don't look at it as being free. I look at it as an opportunity and exposure. So, I mean, you can go to the chamber. As long as you know and you can serve and provide a solution, it's always opportunity to speak. So yes, I believe anybody that's on this here call, that if you want to grow your business from a marketing standpoint, speaking is one of the central things that you need to be speaking about.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, when Tanya was speaking, I saw your head just nodding and nodding and you were rooting her on. What are your thoughts?
That's absolutely the message. Figure out if you want to speak, if you want to promote your business, your personal brand, what's your message? Right? What is the question you answer? That's the most important thing, because if you don't know the question you're answering, your audience never will. But once you know that, then you can say, who are the people with this question? And that leads to what Tanya does so well. She says, well, these people in the Rotary Club, people over here, and you can broaden it in a lot of different ways. I speak a lot about careers and professional skills. I was talking to someone who has a religion podcast the other day. Now, religion's not normally my area, but one of the things that he talks about in the podcast is people who find their religious calling and want to have a career in service because of their religious beliefs. I said, you know, some of the students I've taught have said, well, I really feel I have to choose something based on my religious values. I said, you know, there's an area where there's some overlap. There might be other people in your audience who feel this way, and we can talk about how you create a career that ties into your values. So you can be very broad in how you think about who might need answers to your questions. And then the other thing Tanya did that was so great, she has her elevator pitch, right? And she has her 30 seconds of someone says, hey, we need a speaker, or what is it you do? And she can just go, boom, this is what I do, here's why I deliver. And they say, wow, that was succinct, that was powerful, that was great.
Yes, I love it. Michelle, you have your elevator pitch?
Oh, sure. I've got a short one and a longer one, depending on where I am and who I meet. So, yeah, just it's interesting that what we're talking about here about speaking. I think you're right. It's true. I was nodding profusely as well when Tonya was saying about speaking is the way, is your PR, you know, for your business. But I'll also add that the advice I was given about 10 years ago now, is that after you've been in business and you're considered an expert, you should do three things, and speaking is one of them. You should write, speak, and teach. It's those three things: write, teach, and speak. So speaking is part of your PR, but also writing is as well. Writing, because you're positioning yourself as an expert, and then teaching. So you should do those three things. It's really important to actually elevate yourself as a professional, as an expert, and it also gets you noticed as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what we want to do, get noticed. What are some of the things that help to get you noticed, Tiffany?
Well, initially, I was getting frustrated because all of these people didn't understand about that their funding sources were available. And so I knew there was a need and I went to help them. And so I originally did a financial roundtable forum, and would bring in different speakers for every different aspect of the financial, you know, financing spectrum I could think of, and either have them speak or engage in like a conversation with them in front of people and to encourage more conversations. So yes, speaking was what launched, I guess, was what launched me. And I haven't done as much speaking recently, doing a lot more writing. And a lot more writing and teaching. But I think speaking, it's a way to get the information out to more people. And if your goal is to help a lot of people, even if, you know, you speak to, I don't know, 40 or 100 people, and three people become clients or customers, you have touched and you have educated, you've assisted the remaining people who don't. And so that's what I like about speaking, is your ability to reach out and touch a bunch of people. And I will say that, like, I remember when I first got started, my issue was not speaking, doing prepared speeches. My issue was doing these ad hoc kind of off the cuff things, you know, could you stand up and say something or whatever. And so I joined Toastmasters, and you have to do that that 3 minutes at the beginning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you have to just, they give you a topic and you have to have a beginning, a middle and an end. Yeah, that one was really good. I sucked at the beginning. I was horrible. But then
towards the end, we all sucked at the beginning.
So yes, get as much help as you can. Yeah, that definitely helped me.
I love Toastmasters. Go ahead, Mark.
Tiffany had something really interesting there that relates to what Michelle does, which is, Tiffany, you mentioned you put together a panel. And so this is another great technique for building your brand, is if you don't have that level of recognition yet, I can say, hey, I've got this panel I'm putting together, and I've got Tiffany and Marcy and Tanya and Michelle, and they're gonna come, and they're all brilliant. So you wanna see them, but now I'm the one organizing, I'm the MC, I'm the host. And so I pick up some of that branding. I pick up some of their credibility by doing it. And it gets me out there now. Well, I'm speaking a bit, even though no one asked me to, but I'm the organizer. And that's a great way to get started.
I like how you pointed that out and how you picked that apart. It's a wonderful tool. It's a tool that I use, because a lot of people say, Sharifa, you are so funny. And I put together these comedy shows, stand-up comedy shows, and people are like, you have to be a stand-up comedian. And I'm like, no, I'm the host. I love hosting, because as the host, if I'm funny, I'm funny. If I'm not, I'm not. But there isn't an obligation to be funny, because what? I'm not a stand-up comedian. So these are creative ways, like you mentioned, Mark, to get your name and your brand out there without doing all of the heavy lifting yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to use speaking because, you know, when people are coming out and trying to grow their business, the number one thing, nobody knows me. Well, this is how you position. You don't want to be nobody knows you. So that's how I was able to grow my business, speaking.
Yes. Now I want to go back to Marcy and her author's clothing real quick and just this whole persona. This is really a serious question, even though it's light and funny and you know, kind-hearted, but did you notice a transition in your personality? You know what I mean? Because I know when I step into the talk show host, it's a different Sharifa, it's a different person. I'm trying to be more personality, more professional. And then offline, off screen, I'm a little bit more relaxed, but I can notice when I'm putting on that personality.
Mm-hmm. When I first started, and I was determined to, you know, back then I was doing poetry and spoken word, and I would just shake. And I remember one time I was asked to do a poem for Nikki Giovanni.
Oh, wow.
I was shaking so bad I had to take off the heels that I was wearing because I couldn't stand still. So then once I started taking the performance classes, it was like, oh, I don't have to be me up there. I can be somebody else, and I can be, you know, funny, or I can be dramatic. And so I would change clothes to be that person. Mm-hmm. I think that today, and this was, you know, like after years of this, my goal when I'm speaking to people is to actually reach the human being. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's much easier for me now to get up in front of a whole group of people and see the people out there and realize that I'm having a conversation with real people, and that I'm real. I'm not necessarily a character up there on stage. But the wardrobe helps.
A lot of personality, a lot of successful people will tell you that they step into a personality. Like even people know, like with me, there's Sharifa and there's Reef. Like those are two complete different personalities. You know, Mark, you were going to say something?
Oh, it reminds me of what Starbucks would tell their employees. They tell their employees, when you put that apron on, this is your armor, because someone at some point is going to whine, there's not enough pumpkin spice in my latte, and you can deal with that. But this apron, this is your armor that protects you. And that's really how Marcy's thinking about it. I think that's such a great way to look at
it. Yeah. You know, I was going to say, and that's awesome, but then, you know, we don't shift it into the space of virtual. And that virtual, it takes a practice as well too, you know? And so one of the things for me, I do a lot of keynote speaking and breakout and training and all of that. And sometimes you can get so caught up because you can't see the people. And so for me, one of the things I try to stay true to is authenticity and energy. I want to give people an experience. And even on the screen, you just got to just go in and be that person or whatever. And that's what I mean, so it is an art too, as well. And we're finding and we're seeing that has been different because we're going to be doing more and more virtual keynote speaking, training, what have you. You still have to give them the same experience. So the same thing that you guys talked about, it helps, but it becomes a little challenging sometimes as well.
So do you have a routine or something that helps you get into that mode or
become a speaker? Oh, yes, ma'am.
We need to learn. We taking notes.
Well, you know what? I'm a Christian, and I pray, and then I affirm Tanya. Affirm Tanya, and this is what I say. I'm going to be Tanya. I am going to give you an experience. If I were there, what would I want? And then I just flip on this alter ego thing that I have, not an ego, but a persona, if you will. And I just go in, and I don't take myself so serious because, like you said, I'm still nervous. But I try to err on authenticity, and I bring my energy out, and I do a lot of breathing beforehand, breathing. And I don't eat any dairy products before. I just drink water because that can get your mouth off some kind of way. But those are some of the things I have done and found that works.
Yes. What are some things that you found that worked, Michelle?
I was going to say that I've done quite a bit of speaking, training, workshops, roundtables, and hosted as well. But I've also seen the other side because I'm in events. So I meet speakers and keynote speakers and manage keynote speakers as well. And one of the things that I usually get asked is, you know, what I usually advise is to practice really, really helps, and preparation. Practice and preparation are those two key things. You know, try not to be too nervous. And as Tonya said, breathing really helps beforehand. But one of the things I do quote all the time, and you are going to crack up about this, is that I use a quote, actually, because I went to a presentation by one of the event advisors for President Clinton at the time. And she gave this funny story, and she was asked, how does he prepare? And he stands in front of the mirror before every presentation and says, it's showtime. That's what I do. And that's what I tell people. It really helps you to get in the zone. It's showtime in front of the mirror. And that really helps you to transcend to where you need to be in order to deliver. But also, don't forget that it really is only half an hour or an hour or a few hours. And it's really not very much time to actually be that person, to deliver that message and be that channel to deliver what it is that you need to deliver. But also to have fun. Don't take it too seriously. You're actually the expert. So don't be too hard on yourself. Who's going to know whether you say something wrong? You know, the story isn't quite the way you meant it to come out. I think that really helps people to just relax. You're the expert here. They're coming to listen to you. So that kind of takes the edge off of it, I find.
Yes, I like that. I love the whole it's showtime. I think I'm going to have to start using that one every round.
It really works. Stuff.
Yes, it's showtime. I might have to put that in the introduction. It's showtime.
You're going to add that, aren't you?
My first guest, Tiffany Wright. Like, I like that. But what I wanted to add to what you were saying is I really believe, and one of the things that I advise speakers or entrepreneurs or authors is find your groove, find what works for you. And that's one of the things that I had to learn after a lot of speaking engagements. What works for me and what I truly, truly, truly love is Q&As. Like, that's my sweet spot. That's my where I'm like, oh, I'm in my vibe, because I would do speaking engagements and I will walk away from them feeling like, okay, I've told my story. I've said what I had to say. I don't know if I had an impact. And so after a while, I would just kind of give a little brief introduction. This is what I do. And we're going to have a Q&A. I'm going to answer many of your entrepreneurial business questions. And what happens is it's usually quiet and people are like, I don't even know what question. Did somebody raise their hand? They have a question. And an hour later, people are like, oh my God, Sharifa, you were really helpful. But it's like, I wanted people to ask those questions that they really have in their mind, but they don't feel. That's why I love giving people permission to ask, because I know you're thinking it. I know you have questions. If you didn't have questions, you wouldn't have been at this entrepreneur summit. Like, really, you have questions. Ask Sharifa. Y'all like that, right?
I do. But you know what, Sharifa, I think that even in the preparation time, when you're doing your content, you anticipate what they may ask, and you weave that into your, you know, your training or your speaking or whatever, because if we're going to be walking as entrepreneurs, we know what the hiccups are. We know that. And so we know some of the things that they may be asking. We know the failures, successes. And so if you weave that in there and like you said, give them the sense that she understands me. You know, when I do my diversity stuff, I don't go in there and get all radical. I try to understand, because I have friends of all race and all genders or whatever. And so we walk through. My goal is not for me to tell you that you're racist. You have to reveal that yourself. You have your own aha moment. So I do. I have it in such a way where we're together, right? And so I think you're right that the Q&A is great, but you know, as a keynoter, you may not have time to do a Q&A. So you can incorporate some of that in your
speakers. Yes, I hear you as a keynote speaker, but what I'm known for is just disrupting. I don't, whatever time I have, I went into, this is a true story. You can look it up on social media. I was in a mode, and what changes my life is I'm one of those people, if I get irritated, I want to do it different, because now I'm irritated. And I had spent a week doing speaking engagement, and I was done with my speaking engagements. And I got a call from a really good friend. That's why I try not to have good friends, because they always ask you to do stuff that you don't want to do, but you got to because they're a really good friend. So they were like, Sharifa, we want you to speak at an ashram. We had a last minute cancellation. Can you speak at an ashram? So for people who don't know what an ashram is, it's a room full of Hindu people who just sitting there praying. So they're not the most worldly people. And so I was like, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And so I said, look, we're going to sit in a circle and we're going to meditate and you're going to ask me a question. So I sat in a circle, had everybody close their eyes for 2 minutes. And then and I said, okay, do you have a question? And he's like, no, because they didn't even know who I was. Like, I'm just this little Black lady that showed up and like asked me a question. And so I said, well, if you don't have a question, close your eyes. We're going to meditate again. I was sitting there for 5 minutes. We just going to meditate till somebody asks something. And so then 5 minutes later, I opened my eyes. I said, anybody have a question? Somebody raised their hand. And like 2 hours later, we were doing these Q&As. So I took it upon myself to say, whatever time limit I have, this is what I want to do. This is what makes me comfortable. I don't care what the world thinks. And I tend to do that, which is how I started the Roundtable Talk Show, because I want to talk to more people. So that's what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
Disrupting. Yeah. Mark, you were about
it does depend on your style, doesn't it? I think it depends on your style. So for the benefits of your audience who may be thinking, yeah, but you know, I don't want to interact. There may be some people that might want to just deliver a message and that's it. I mean, I'm from the UK where our politicians are known for that. They just turn up, say a speech, and they're not even open to any questions. Hopefully, but that's unfortunately the way it is. But and then you may have like yourself, people are more interactive, they want to get into it, they're happy to interact. So for the benefit of your audience, it really does depend on A, the organizer and what kind of a style of an event it is. And B, don't also be afraid to say, is it okay if we do it this way? Right. You know, they may want a keynote presentation, but you can say, it's 30 minutes. Do you mind if I do 15 minutes of presentation and 15 minutes of Q&A? You know, don't be afraid to kind of bring up how you see yourself and what your best light is. And if your best light is coming alive doing Q&A and answering questions, then kind of get shoehorn that in somehow. You know, don't feel that it's you need to be sort of dictated to, or you need to do one and not the other, or whatever. I think it's, as you said, it's about presenting yourself in the best possible light.
And I just wanted to add that I do Q&A works well, but for me, because of the subject matter, and it's really about changing the business and changing the mindset, and it's something that people don't understand. If you're talking about packaging yourself and putting on certain clothing and so on, when you're trying to go out and get financing, it really is about packaging your business in the way that the lender sees your business and sees you versus, you know, they don't really see you and they just reject you. But by packaging yourself a certain way, then the lender actually see your business and because you're speaking to them in their language. So I do, I went to an event and I asked a friend of mine who's a trainer, what should I do? Because it was, you know, I had more time. And she said, you know, do some interaction things and so on. And I said, what about role playing? She said, well, that, you know, because of you, I think that would work well. Anyways, I got the highest reviews of everyone there that day. So that's what I do now. It was fun. But also people understood it a lot better when I had them pretend, it's funny, I had them pretend to be a lender and a business owner or an investor and a business owner or whatever. But when they did that, it took. And that's the whole point is to get to get it to resonate and people to believe that they can get the money, because that's really half the battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have completely, totally enjoyed this conversation today. We've been hitting on so many different topics. That's what we do here at the Roundtable Talk Show. I hope everyone who tuned in to watch the show enjoyed it as well. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Marcy.
First, what do I want people to take away? I'm a writer. I write anything and everything, basically. But what I want people to know is that if you have a story to tell, if you have information that you want people to know and you want to write, do it. I think that oftentimes we're not given permission to do the things that are in our hearts. In the publishing world right now, there's our own voices and we need diverse books. The publishing industry is really looking for fiction, nonfiction work by diverse authors. And it just kind of seems like this is the time now to really go for that.
Wonderful. And where can we pick up your book?
My books are in bookstores. It's directly from Cinco Puntos Press. Myself, basically sell them out of the trunk of my car. Again.
How about an Amazon? How about a website where they can purchase them? We don't want to stalk you in your car.
Amazon, you can get them on Amazon. Again, it's Girl Gone Missing. If you, you know, go look up Girl Gone Missing, you'll find Murder on the Red River and my children's books.
That is wonderful. Thank you, Marcy. Tiffany, what do you have for us?
Okay, well, I am at the resourcefulceo.com. I'm the resourceful CEO and I help B2B companies restructure their finances and operations. If you're a B2C company, I do help B2C companies obtain financing, but I mainly do this through programs and packages. But if you want help understanding how to get financing and all the different ways you can do it, you can pick up my book. The funding is out there, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online.
I like in person. I'm like, can we just call you and be like, Tiffany, find me some money?
No, I meant Amazon or Barnes and Noble Barnes and Noble bookstore in person. Not
we can't call you. I want you to find me some money, Tiffany. I need some money for Asheree.
You can come through the website and I'll see what I can do. But yes, it might be better to read about your options. That'd be cheaper.
I like spending. Mark, yeah. What do you have for us?
If you get a chance, you can buy my book, The Career Toolkit, which you can find on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, and Indie Books. You can also go to the website, thecareertoolkitbook.com, where you can download the app for free, which contains a lot of the advice in the book. You can also get lots of resources that will help you and your organization develop these skills, all free at thecareertoolkitbook.com.
I have to check it out, thecareertoolkitbook.com. Thank you, Mark. Michelle, what do you have for us?
Oh, it's been so much fun. I think I'll repeat what I said earlier. So the write, teach, and speak thing for raising your profile. So have a look at those magazines and those online tools that you can contribute to. So for example, for me, I've written for Eventbrite. I've written for the Conference Meetings World, Conference News. So find those publications and those magazines that you can write for to really elevate yourself. And then it's showtime.
Showtime. Tune in tomorrow, Michelle. I'm telling you, showtime. I don't know how, but I'm gonna work that into the intro tomorrow. It's showtime. Tanya, what do you have for us?
I want to leave everybody with this here. We all have a responsibility to really create inclusive workplaces, one generation at a time. I know that we are dealing with a lot of race disparities and gender disparities. But at the end of the day, it starts with all of us. So if you're looking for a generational connector, there's a couple of ways that you can find me, on LinkedIn. And then for speaking and training, TanyaMorrisSpeaks.com. But if you need me to come in there and do an audit of your organization and tell you that we all can get along so we can belong, then you need to go to SimplyHRInc.com. I help you scale your business one generation at a time. And if you need my book to understand about compassion in the workplace, you can go to my website, SimplyHRInc, and it's on Amazon. And so I want to leave you with one thing. We all can get along so we can belong.
Yes, I love it. We can all get along so we can belong. Because I love that from Rodney King. Can't we all just get along?
That is where it came from.
Yes, it seems like we should be able to. Like, it's the simplest of things. Why can't we all just get along? Because if we get along, then we can belong. That's what we learned here today on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I want to thank you all for being guests today. I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who watched it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not important. We still need your help. We still need your support. Please go ahead and share the show. But again, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. Their links are in the Facebook post above. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th of this year, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., when it's showtime, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye.